Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze. It's good to be with you tonight. As I come, I want to share a couple of things with you. First of all, I just want to say that the mission of the Anchored in Jesus radio ministry is to share biblical truths that encourage and equip the saints of God. And we hope also that it would reach the unsaved in a special way. As you know, earlier this year, we came to you with a special need. We thank all of you who have responded to our recent appeal, but we just want to let you know that we still have a shortfall regarding our financial obligation. As 2016 draws to a close, we pray that you would help us in one of the following ways. First of all, everyone can pray. You can pray for the financial needs that we have at this present time. Also, you can make a one-time tax-deductible gift to support our radio ministry. And as we always say, no amount is too small. And then I would like to encourage you, if you're able and God leads, to become a regular donor by contributing a monthly gift. Those who commit to a regular monthly gift, a donation of at least $25 a month, you will receive a copy of my book, 50 Ways to Resist the Devil. And this book deals with spiritual warfare and how you can engage successfully, victoriously in spiritual warfare. Let me assure you, radio friends, that every penny you give goes directly to the radio ministry. For the ways to donate, you can go to www.anchoredinjesus.org and hit the Donate Now button, or you can call 877-531-5060. Let me thank you in advance for any help that you can give us. We are trusting the Lord for his provision, and we are asking you to seek the Lord as to how you can participate. Thank you for all that you've done. To God be the glory.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his message titled, God Came in Order for Believers to Just Do It. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of God Came in Order for Believers to Just Do It.
With the Homewood Community Ministries that's trying to do some things to deal with violence. That's why Brother George Angel and I, next year, we've already started working on this. And we already got a date, right, George? Ready to go. We are going to have, now don't boo me out, I hope you clap for this, because you know we're not going to sit back and curse the darkness, but we are going to try to bring the light. We are going to have a law enforcement recognition day here at Bethany Baptist Church, where we invite policemen, where we invite people who are in the justice system to come, because we're looking to bring a healing. You know, we don't want to just say, well, them out there, you know, why are they doing this? Man, we're trying to bring a healing, you know, between these folk that are supposed to be protecting us and the attitudes that are in the community. And so we can sit back and say, well, how come police are killing black men? And we can keep cursing the darkness. Or we can say, man, let's try to do something. Let's make an impact. Let's get, I don't know whether you know it or not, but there's a whole lot of good Christian people in law enforcement. A whole lot of good Christian people. Everybody's not out to, you know, shoot somebody, as some would think. And so we need to realize that sitting back and just continually cursing the darkness is not what God would have us to do. But he says right here, you need a scriptural base for it? Here it goes right here. Be not overcome by evil. Evil is overturning and overrunning our neighborhoods. Evil is overrunning our society. Evil is overrunning our community. He says that be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And as we look at it, and I've heard this before, and I know you've heard this, all that it takes for evil to prevail is for good people to do nothing. You want to see evil run rampant? You want to see evil to take control? Just don't do anything. And it's going to run, and it's going to take its course. It's going to be in the schools, all right? It's going to be in the communities. It's going to be everywhere if God's people, if you think about this, he says the word overcome, Nike. If God's people who have this Nike ability, this ability that Jesus came, remember, go back to 1 John 5, you know, he that is born of God, he that is born of God overcomes the world. Nike's the world. And this is the victory that God has given to us. So we need to walk victorious over evil. Let me move on here. The second thing we need to do, we need to walk victorious over the devil. Some people don't believe there's a devil. And you know where that lie came from, right? You remember that song, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart, right? That's about Jesus. We can say something about the devil. He lives. Salvation to take away. Our lives to destroy. You ask me how I know he lives? Because he tried today. Yeah, he tried today. I don't know about you, but you know, the devil is busy. But the thing about it is that we have the power to overcome the devil. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have, here we go with our word again, Nike, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So without me actually going into a lot of detail in this passage, just let me break it down for you real quick, tell you what's going on. In here, in this passage, John is talking about four levels of Christian development. There is the babe. There is the father, there is the young man, and there is the child. Four levels of development. He says that, you know, hopefully if you've been a Christian long enough, you've come through all these developments. You know, you've been a child, you've been a young man, and you've been a father. So it's just not talking about males. It's talking about Christians in general. And so the idea here is, at some point, you should have been a young man, a young lady. And as a young man or young lady, what is the key thing that characterizes that stage of Christian growth? It is the fact that they overcame the evil one. They overcame the wicked one. And the idea here in the language that's used is that you overcame and now you're standing on his neck, looking down on him. That's the idea in this passage right here. That you came into a fight. You came into a skirmish with the evil one. And as a result of that skirmish, that you came out and you got your foot on the devil's neck and you're looking down at him. So often than not, we find ourselves looking up with the devil's foot on our neck. And you are a victor. You have the power to overcome. Let me tell you this, two things. First of all, if you think that the devil's not after you, you need to read the Bible. Because Jesus said to Peter, Satan desires to have you and sift you like wheat. You know, that he desires to sift you, to shake you violently, to destroy your life. And then we read in another place, the devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. You think that you're immune to that? You think that, well, you know what, I'm just not going to go outside and I'll just stay in my house and that way the devil won't mess with me. I heard E.V. Hill say, he said, yeah, if you do that, the devil kind of got a way of kind of sneaking through the keyhole and coming in your house. He'll find a way to get in. He's not going to leave you alone. And so the only way that we can do battle against him is to walk in this Nike victory, this power that God has given to us. That in these everyday battles, and I'm not going to be like Flip Wilson and have Flip Wilson theology and say the devil made me do it. Because I don't believe the devil's behind everything. So I just want to say that right now. You know, sometimes you can look in the mirror and you can say, we have seen the enemy and we is they. So it's not the devil. It's not the devil. But the devil will send things in your life to cause you to trip up and cause you to fall. And the Bible says that he's like an angel of light. That he'll come. See, you know, the problem is, you know, y'all remember that story about the church that was having revival, right? And man, they were having a good time praising and worshiping God on Halloween night. And there was a man dressed in the devil's costume. And it started thundering and lightning and raining. And he was on his way to the party, but he got caught up in the rain. And so he was trying to get out of the rain. He came into the church where they're having the revival. And the pastor looked up and he saw the man in the devil's costume walking down the aisle. And the pastor went like that, and everybody's head turned around and looked. And they started shooting everywhere, going everywhere. And there was a lady that she got caught up on one of the pews, and as the devil walked down, she looked at him and she said, I've been in church my whole life, but I've been serving you the whole time. See, we think the devil is coming in horns, a pitchfork, pointed tail. See, you've been looking at that hot sauce bottle too long. The Bible says he comes as an angel of light. Somebody said he's like Hallmark. He cares enough to send only the very best. He's going to send that buffed man. He's going to send that nice-looking lady. He's going to send all these beautiful things in order to suck you in. And so the battle, a lot of times, is not going to be this roughneck, fist-to-fist battle. It's just going to be in these subtle things. And then when we give into those things, watch this, what happens? We're on the ground, and he got his foot on our neck. I mean, so it hasn't been like it's, you know, fist for fist, blow for blow, pound for pound, knock each other out. Sometimes it's not like, sometimes he just eases right on in. You know, you don't even know you're in the fight. And then the next thing you know, you're on the ground, and he's looking down at you. But when he sends those temptations, and he sends those trials, that when you have defeated him, you are the one standing, looking down with your foot on his neck. And that's what God is looking for. And that's why God said that you are a young man that has overcome. Now notice, let me say this before I move on to my next point. Notice what he said in verse 14. I have written unto you fathers. So these would be mature people in the Lord. They are fathers. So you see the different levels that he's talking about. I've written to you fathers. He already talked about children and babes. But he says, I've written to you fathers because you know him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men because you are strong. You should be strong. And the word of God abides in you. That if you want to be able to defeat the devil, you got to be strong. And the word of God has to abide in you. Devotions, Bible study, Bible reading, listening to good preaching on the TV, on the radio. Let that word of God abide in you so that you will have victory over the evil one. The next thing that we see is that you should walk victorious over the world. 1 John chapter 5. You should walk victorious over the world. Verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. What is the world? What is the world? As we look at the Bible, the world is used in three ways. One way is the physical planet that we live on, the world. The second way is the world of people, all the people that's in the world. The third way, the way that John means it, is the world system. The world system. And he said, don't get caught up in the world system. Now, I'm not trying to make anybody mad, all right? Not trying to make anybody mad. But if you buy into, I know I'm a, let me just go ahead and say it. Now I'm going to give gifts for Christmas. I'm going to do that. My family's going to come over. We're going to have a good time, all right, on Christmas. We're going to celebrate, all right, Christmas. But if you buy into the world system about Christmas, that's what he's talking about here. I mean, that's just one aspect of it. If you buy into all the things that the world has portrayed Christianity to be. And notice, if you stick with the world system long enough, look what happens. No more manger scenes? No. Why? Because this is the world system. This is the world system. If you sticks with the world system, you say Merry Xmas and not Merry Christmas. Oh, man. Oh. Hit a nerve there, huh? Hit a nerve there, huh? If you stick with the world system, If you stick with the world system, you say Happy Holiday. I read somewhere, I still say Merry Christmas. I still say Merry Christmas. You know, when you buy into the world, see, it's so subtle, and it's just slowly trying to eke out what Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas is, the world system. So you had this, what, birth of Christ, and that is a powerful event. This is an event that transforms the lives of people, that has impacted history, this event. The birth of Jesus Christ, which should be the sole focus. But what happened? The world began to infiltrate it, right? And the more the world infiltrates, the more the world systems get connected. And as the world systems get connected, what do Christians do? We start buying into the system. Now, I already said, so you can save your emails and your letters. I already said that I'm buying presents. I'm going to give presents, right? I already said that. So I'm not knocking that part of it. I'm saying that when we tie into that whole system that's going on. And John says here, my brothers and sisters, that you should overcome the world system. You know, look, let me go back and read it again. It says, now, there's only one of three meanings for this word world. Only one of three, all right? He that overcometh the world. Well, it's not talking about the physical earth. It's not talking about the people. It's talking about the system. He that overcometh the world system. Oh, let me go back. All right. But whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world system. And this is the victory that overcometh the world system, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world system? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Nike, being able to walk in victory over the world's system. So, you know, I was thinking about how can you walk in victory? over the world system. So if I'm out Christmas shopping, right, and I just go and I'm like, man, bless God, you know, I'm blessed, and, you know, I thank God for Jesus. And you just have this spirit where everybody else, right, like the folk in the world system, I already said this before, right, what are they doing? They're trying to beat you to the parking spot. The people that's in the world system, they're trying to buy the last Tickle Me Elmo before you get to it. And then, you know, they get upset when they don't get it, all right, when you buy into the system. But when you have this relationship with Christ, and you are worshiping the Lord, that even though you might be out there, because the Bible said we got to be in the world, but not of the world. So I might have to go out into the world and buy my Christmas presents. I might have to go out into the world and buy my Christmas dinner, even though I'm in the world. Oh. Even though I'm in the world, I'm not of the world. It's just like that flower. White flour that was in the coal mine and all the coal dust that fell daily. And you walk in there and that flour is just as pure as snow. Why is that? Because it was in the coal mine, but it didn't let the coal mine stick on it. The dust just rolled right off the petals. And so that's the same way it is with us, that we are victors. Jesus came to give us victory. So even though we have to be in the world, see, now, this is the message I preach in America, right? But this is not the message. See, man, you ought to thank God that you live in America. You ought to thank God. Because, you know, if I was somewhere else preaching this message, you know what I'd be saying? I'd be saying you got to live in the world that's going to cut your head off if you proclaim the name of Christ. I would be saying you're going to be in the world. I showed you a couple weeks ago about a couple in Pakistan, how they threw them into a kiln, burned them alive because they didn't want to buy into the system. See, this is the message for us. See the message that we got in America? See, in America, we preach the message on one level. But you go somewhere else, it's on another level altogether. Another level. See, we're going to get frustrated, right? About little things about Christmas. And we're going to complain and we're going to be discouraged and we're going to be defeated about the little things that we deal with. And I'm just trying to encourage you. I'm trying to preach to the audience that I'm dealing with. Because most of y'all not dealing with getting thrown in the fire. Most of y'all not dealing with getting your heads cut off. But there are people around the world where the message is a lot different. And what are these? And you know, you really want to know who the overcomers are? Those are the true overcomers. Those are the real overcomers, because it said in Revelation, well, let me look at that. Let me see if I can find it. What's that? Revelation 12, I think. Revelation 12. Revelation 12. Lord, let it be here. Okay. Revelation 12, verse 9. Revelation 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan and the deceiver of the whole earth. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying, now has come salvation in the strength of the kingdom of our God and the power of our Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuseth them before God day and night. And they overcame him. Now, I didn't even look at that. That might be Nike, too. I should have looked at that one before I came up here. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love. Oh.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of God is the Hope in the Midst of Our Fears. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, God Came in Order for Believers to Just Do It, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request God Came in Order for Believers to Just Do It. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request God Came in Order for Believers to Just Do It. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Also, Dr. Glaze is the author of 5 books, For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.